Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing serving the God or higher power of our understanding. Somewhere along the healing journey, we are inevitably going to come across this concept of higher self or higher power or God. I do think that it's extremely important to clarify what it means to have a higher power. In many instances, people who have experienced, let's say, religious or spiritual abuse and have a very distorted idea of what it means to have a relationship with a higher power or higher self or God, and to be of service to this higher power. So in today's podcast episode, I want to discuss the role of higher power or higher self on our healing journey. I'm going to discuss what it means to be of service to this higher power, and finally talk about the importance of having a higher power in our lives, some of the benefits of having a higher power, and specifically when it comes to healing. Now, before we begin, I want to suggest a really, really good book. This is A God of Our Understanding by Rabbi Chase Taub. God of Our Understanding is a book that essentially takes a look at the underlying spiritual dynamics of addiction and its treatment through the 12-step programs. Rabbi Taub, who is a world-renowned expert in Jewish mysticism as well as a mentor to many thousands of addicts, draws from his unique background to address many of the concerns raised by addicts in recovery, while also using Jewish knowledge to enrich the understanding of the spiritual principles of recovery for addicts of all faiths. So now, while this book obviously has Jewish impressions throughout it, and it is written by a rabbi, it's not that it doesn't necessarily require you to be Jewish in any way. And it's an extremely enlightening book that I suggest for anyone. I believe that this book will be beneficial to anyone who reads it, not just Jewish people, and certainly not just addicts. So let's discuss this concept of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Abraham Maslow, identified that there are different levels of needs, a pyramid of needs. The highest level of the needs of a human being is called what he calls self-transcendence. Self-transcendence is where we rise above our individual egoic self and we live for something that is greater than ourselves, for the greater good. Now, this need of self-transcendence can only be reached when all of our other lower, more basic needs are met. So our basic needs need to be met, namely our physiological needs, such as food and shelter, our safety needs, such as health and our resources, love and belonging needs, such as intimacy and relationships, esteem needs, such as respect of others and the respect by others, and then self-actualization needs, such as morality and creativity. And then if all these needs are met on this pyramid, then the self-transcendence need can finally be explored and then ultimately met. So when on the recovery journey from trauma, from abuse, this need for self-transcendence is extremely fundamental. And I would argue it's paramount when it comes to healing. You see, when we are wounded and we are looking to overcome past traumas, past abuses, very often we become very fixated on our pain. We almost create a whole sense of self or identity around our pain, and we often develop defenses to protect ourselves from getting re-hurt, re-injured. The issue is that these defenses and this identity, it really keeps us stuck, and we end up getting very stuck in survival and stuck in ourselves, stuck in our ego. And these defense mechanisms, while they were extremely necessary early on in order to survive, while it was very important to focus on ourselves because we had to show our survival in very difficult circumstances, even horrific horrific experiences, as we heal, and we begin to become aware of the barriers that don't really allow us to let go and surrender and self-transcend. In essence, they are very much getting in our own way. Now, we become very stuck in ourselves and we become highly focused and usually have a very difficult time self-transcending or transcending our egoic self. Now, when we're stuck in this way, it's going to leave us living in this very fear-based consciousness. There's going to be a lot of shame, a lot of criticism, a lot of guilt, a lot of playing the victim. And these things hold us back from our ability to be vulnerable, from growing, from self-actualizing, and ultimately surrendering to a higher self, letting go, and ultimately self-transcending. Now, a large portion of healing, a large part of healing, and I would argue the intention of healing, is to be able to heal the sense of self, right? Our independent sense of self back to wholeness. So we want to have a sense of self. But then once we have this healed and whole sense of self, we want to be able to transcend this self and reach higher states of consciousness. And in order to do this, we need to let go and let God. And this is what it means to self-transcend. Now, being stuck in fear and in ego consciousness, it makes healing very difficult since we are often very reluctant to let go and surrender, which would then allow ourselves to raise our consciousness, which raising consciousness essentially is synonymous with healing. And what we often do in these lower states of consciousness is we cling to things or people or situations in fear, and it prevents the necessary letting go and surrender, which would then ultimately raise our consciousness and allow us to truly heal. Now, the way I see it is this need for self-transcendence is spiritual in nature. It's a spiritual need. And I see this need as essentially the need to connect to a higher power, our higher self, to God, to source, to creator, to connect to all that exists, whatever, let's say, higher existence you believe in. Now, without this spiritual need for self-transcendence and connection met, when we have this need going unmet, we are going to inevitably search for things to meet this need and to fill this vacancy, so to speak. And it usually ends up being things like drugs, addictions to, let's say, drugs, alcohol, or tranquilizers of sorts. And this gives us sort of a momentary high. And for a short period of time, we act as if this need of self-transcendence is being met, because in many ways, we do feel like it's being met. We do fill that spiritual vacancy. Now, once the drug of choice wears off, we are inevitably going to fall back to our baseline of our primary baseline of existence. So when we're high on, let's say, a drug of choice, we are experiencing self-transcendence, at least for a small period of time. It is, however, unsustainable since we haven't grown, we haven't self-actualized and self-transcended. What we've done is essentially spiritually bypass. We just disconnect from our present reality. Now, while the addictive substances seem to meet the need of self-transcendence, which is why they're so attractive and enjoyable and addictive, they certainly, essentially their momentary relief from the ego, and the ego in these instances is dissolving, but we haven't necessarily transcended it. You can say we've dissolved the ego, but we haven't transcended it. Now, while this experience is obviously very blissful and enjoyable, when we are under the influence of a drug of choice, we haven't, let's say, transcended the ego, and as a result, we're going to need to continuously be on the drug of choice and let's say, up the dosage when we get used to that level of getting high, because we're trying to reach that original level of self-transcendence, and the more we chase it, the more elusive it becomes. Now, to transcend the self is to live for something greater than ourselves. It means we are serving a higher intention, a higher purpose, one more than just serving our own survival and basic needs, our survival instincts. Now, this concept of serving a higher power is being of service for a higher purpose, one that benefits other people and their well-being. It's how we truly raise our consciousness, and this is what it means to self-transcend. Now, so often when we are trying to heal, we are very focused on ourselves, our own pain, our own needs, and we become very self-focused in an attempt to heal. And while these things are extremely valid and important, yes, we obviously want to focus on ourselves because it is our healing. We don't want to forget the primary intention of healing and really the point of life, which is to grow to our full potential and live for something greater than just ourselves, essentially self-transcendence. And this is the primary intention of healing, to rise above the independent individual egoic self and then grow by living for a greater purpose or through service. Now, there are little things in life, there are a few things in life that compare to the fulfillment we experience when we live a life of purpose and of service. When we do this, we are transcending the self, and then we can truly experience sustainably bliss, peace, happiness, and joy. Now, we don't find those things in our drug addictions or getting high, but rather we find them in a way of life where our baseline of existence overall is truly happy and fulfilled. And in this place, in this state of consciousness, we are at peace with ourselves, and we really feel no interest or desire to escape the pain of our existence via an addiction, because we're at peace with our existence, and we start to enjoy our existence because have been able to reach higher states of consciousness naturally, as opposed to, let's say, manipulating or cheating by using a drug of choice to spiritually bypass and reach a higher state of consciousness. Now, as we know, the only thing that truly exists is right now, right? This moment. The future and the past are either in our imagination or in our memory. So in each moment, we get to either choose to listen to the guidance of our higher self, which is always communicating to us, or to our lower self, to our ego. So from this perspective, to live a life of service or to serve a higher power is to align ourselves and our life with a higher power and listening to our intuition and heeding its guidance in each moment. So the voice of our higher self is always guiding us towards our highest potential and growth. This voice is often very contrasted by the voice of our ego, which is survival. It's basically a selfish inclination that influences us to put ourselves first and only ourselves first, to react immediately, to be highly reactive, to pursue instant gratification, and to think about only ourselves and to think short term. Now, when we are influenced toward acting in alignment with our higher self, the results we experience are always going to end up good, even if they don't appear that way or even feel that way, or even if it's something that's very difficult to do in the moment. So if we listen to our higher self and our intuition, regardless of what we believe the outcome is going to be, it's going to work out for our highest good. If we act from ego or selfishly, like our lower self, the result is going to inevitably be confusion, emptiness, chaos, guilt, feeling lost, and a lack of fulfillment. So the more we nurture the selfish, egoic desires or pleasure, the more we chase pleasure, and the more we give into our selfish impulses, the more power we give this force in our lives. And the stronger its force is in our life, then the more influential it will be over our consciousness and our decision making. And the opposite is obviously true for nurturing our higher self. If we listen closely to the compassionate, sensitive, non-judgmental, and unconditionally loving guidance of our higher self and allow it to be the primary influence in our life, we will make decisions based on its guidance, and then our entire life will slowly but surely align with our higher self. So in life, we are responsible for the outcomes of our life because they are dependent on our decision-making. So we have choices that we make, and the choices of which decisions to make in each moment are going to influence our life and ultimately the outcomes. So we are the ones who decide which side to nurture, right? From which part of ourselves, either our ego or our higher self, our decision-making is going to be primarily influenced by. So our entire life can be seen as a series of decisions in each moment. And although they might be, let's say, small decisions, all these small decisions are going to add up to essentially a whole life. So if we take control of and take responsibility for the influences in our life and the influences that influence our decision making, we are essentially able to take control of our life and gear it for the better or for the worse. And we get to decide if the life that we are living is one in alignment with our higher self, which requires non-reactivity, patience, compassion, purpose, love, growth, and connection, or if we are going to choose a lower self, which essentially is selfish, egoic, continuously feeding our immediate self-gratification, our emotions, and ultimately our self-image. Now, we all have a different idea of what a higher power is. I believe we all have a different understanding of what a higher power means to us. We all have our own, let's say, personal relationship to a higher power. And I believe that we all have a different idea of what it means to serve this higher power. I feel strongly that no one gets to tell another person what it means to worship or serve a higher self. And essentially, it's a very subjective and personal relationship. Essentially, it is the God of our understanding. And each person needs to do the work to find their way back to source, back to the light, and back to their higher self. And no one can go on this journey for you. Like, you know, other people can inspire you and certainly live by example, by the way they have been able to find their own pathway back to the light. But no one could essentially learn what it means to have your God, because it's your understanding of a higher power. So from my experiences, and it seems that many other people have a very similar experience, God has been distorted, our higher power, higher self. A lot of these concepts have been distorted and essentially used to abuse and exploited. And this does incalculable damage. And a lot of times this is done by religions or groups that have good intentions, but the damage ultimately is profound. And I do believe that an unbelievable avenue that can bring unquestionable fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness in life, as in this connection to our higher power or God or higher self, when it is abused and exploited, it becomes very difficult to trust, to let go. The damage is incalculable, and sometimes it feels like God is just evil and terrible, and there really can be incalculable damage caused by having this avenue exploited. That being said, it is so vital to get in touch with our higher power and the God of our understanding, and ultimately let go and surrender to this power, whatever that power is for you. So essentially heal your relationship with higher self, or what it means to have a higher self or higher consciousness in your life. And the way I see it is that surrendering and letting go to this higher power has the ability to transform your life and heal so many of our situations, of our ills, of our struggles. And this is not a religious God. This is not a dogmatic God. This is an unconditionally loving state of consciousness, or a higher power that is, again, it's not based on any dogma. This is a higher power of our understanding. This is how we relate to a higher self. This is one that is the consciousness of love, and essentially it connects all of us. And through that connection, it allows us to self-transcend and rise above the ego. And we feel incredible happiness, joy, bliss, and there's just unbelievable fulfillment that comes through this connection to all there is. So when we find a way to transcend the self and rise above it and then connect to all there is, we feel so loved, we feel connected, we feel fulfilled, and ultimately it allows us to trust again and realize that all that truly exists is love, and love is what connects us. And trauma and abuse are things that teach us that the world is a terrible place and people are not to be trusted and God is evil. But at the end of the day, when we self-transcend, we're able to experience the connection. And when in that place of self-transcendence, you really truly understand what it means to connect to a higher power, to others, to love. And in that place, there is tremendous, tremendous healing. So I really hope that this podcast episode inspired you to take a look at the relationship you have to a higher power, and identify if it is something that you are nurturing, if you feel like it is something that would benefit you, and if not, give it a shot and see what it would be like to entertain this higher self and realize that there is something above us, call it what you want, and this higher power loves us unconditionally. It's always guiding us, and it is a healing higher power, and when we surrender and let go to it, I believe strongly so many of our struggles dissolve, and we find what it truly means to feel connected to a higher power. And through this connection, so many of our wounds are healed. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.